Hello again, travelers. Welcome to another week of scary stories to tell in the dark. We're about 3 weeks in now, and believe it or not, things are still getting spooky around here. Last time I gave you quite a bit of commentary on some of the scary stories. Isn't it interesting how these stories reveal how much we've grown, changed? What scares us evolves. For those of you who are older, my dear travelers, some of you have more existential fears, bills to pay, student loan debt. Trust me, I'm right there with you. Others of you, younger listeners, while I don't encourage younger people visiting the bar, I will admit that I can't stop you, but if you are younger, your fears may be tied differently. Maybe you're more forward-thinking and do actually consider your future as being a potential fear. Others of you may fear the dark. Silly, simple things to some. But there is a reason why you fear it. But enough of that for now. You came here to listen to Skelly Boy tell you stories. And that is exactly what I will do for you. Let us start with our first story of the evening, shall we? Wait till Martin comes. An old man was out for a walk when a storm came up. He looked for a place to take shelter. Soon he came to an old house. He ran up on the porch and knocked on the door, but nobody answered. By now, rain was pouring down, thunder was booming, and lightning was flashing. So he tried the door. When he found it was unlocked, he went inside. Except for a pile of wooden boxes, the house was empty. He broke up some of the boxes and made a fire with them. Then he sat down in front of the fire and dried himself off. It was so warm and cozy that he fell asleep. When he woke up, a black cat was sitting near the fire. It stared at him a while. Then it purred. That's a nice cat, he thought, and he dozed off again. When he opened his eyes, there was a second cat in the room, but this one was as big as a wolf. It looked at him very closely, and it asked, "Shall we do it now?" "No," said the other cat. "Let's wait till Martin comes." "I must be dreaming," thought the old man. He closed his eyes again, then took another look. But now there was a third cat in the room, and this one was as big as a tiger. It looked the old man over and asked, "Shall we do it now?" "No," said the others. "Let's wait till Martin comes." The old man jumped out the window, and started running. "When Martin comes, you tell him I couldn't wait," he called. I love this story. It's a bit goofy. It's a bit funny. It's also a little bit scary. Imagine if a cat as big as a tiger were there. waiting to do something that you could not tell. Who was Martin? How big was Martin? And what were they planning on doing? It's the sort of story that has an unnerving feel despite its goofy ending. Think about it. What were they planning? Honestly, the old man had the best plan. Leave while the running and getting good was good. That being said, sometimes that waking can be difficult. We hear talk about sleep paralysis demons. I mean, there's audios of them all over. You don't have to look very far. And the idea of waking up to something like that could be nightmarish. But that's the thing. We can still have fun with our fear. Now then. Our next story. A bit more grim. The Dead Man's Hand. The students at the school for nurses got along quite well with one another, except for Alice. The trouble with Alice was that she was perfect. At least, that is how it always seemed to the other students. She was always friendly and always cheerful. Nothing ever upset her. Her school assignments were always on time and always perfect. She didn't even bite her fingernails, if you believe it. Many of the student nurses resented Alice. They would have liked to see her fail at something, become frightened or cry or do something that showed she had weaknesses like they did. One night, several students tried to frighten Alice with a practical joke. They borrowed the hand of a corpse they had been studying in anatomy and tied it to the light cord in her closet. When she tried to turn on the light, she would find herself holding a dead man's hand. "That would scare anyone," one of them said. "If it doesn't scare her, nothing will." After tying the hand in place, they went to the movies. When they got back, Alice was asleep. But when they didn't see her the next morning, they decided to find out what had happened. There was no sign of Alice in her room, but they soon found her. She was sitting on the floor in her closet, staring up at the dead man's hand and mumbling to herself. Alice didn't even look up. The joke had worked, but nobody was laughing. This story is very grim, and it shows the problem with jealousy, and how, in our efforts to bring others down to our level, sometimes we bring them further down than we ever imagined. Do not be jealous of your fellow humans. No matter how perfect they may appear, you do not know their struggles and problems, not unless you ask. Communication is so very important. But imagine trying to bring someone down because they were too happy. Don't get me wrong, I've met my fair share of people who have annoyed me with their ineffable way of going through life, as if they are God's favored idiots. Believe me, Hakan is one of them. But here is the thing. When we let our jealousy ride us, what are we willing to do to others? These people, playing what they thought was a practical joke, did something heinous. They robbed this person of something very dear, and in doing so, have irrevocably changed the course of her future. There's something scary about that when you stop and think about it. that at any point someone could change the whole course of our future with just an action, with something as simple as a practical joke. Be kind to one another. That is the other lesson of Halloween. There is a time for tricks and a time for treats. Be judicious with your tricks. And be generous with your treats. Take of that what you will. And now, let us turn to the final tale for this evening. Just delicious. I will preface this story that there is some light abuse topics that will be touched on. Keep that in mind and listen closely. George Flint loved to eat. Each day at noon he closed his camera shop for 2 hours and went home for a big lunch his wife Mina had cooked for him. George was a bully, and Mina was a timid woman who did everything he asked because she was so afraid of him. On his way home from lunch one day, George stopped at the butcher shop and bought a pound of liver. He loved liver. He would have Mina cook it for dinner that night. Despite all his complaints about her, she was a very good cook. While George ate his lunch, Mina told him that a rich old woman in town had died. Her body was in the church next door. It was an open coffin. Anyone who wanted to could see her. As usual, George was not interested in what Mina had to say. "I've got to go back to work," he told her. After he left, Mina began to cook the liver. She added vegetables and spices and simmered it all afternoon, just the way George liked it. When she thought it was done, she cut off a small piece and tasted it. It was delicious, the best she had ever made. She ate a second piece, then a third. It was so good, she could not stop eating it. It was only when the liver was all gone that she thought of George. He would be coming home soon. What would he do when he found that she had eaten all of the liver? Some men would laugh, but not George. He would be angry and mean, and she did not want to face that again. But where could she get another piece of liver that late in the day? Then she remembered the old woman lying in the church next door waiting to be buried. George said he never had a better dinner. "Have some liver, Mina," he said. "It's just delicious." "I'm not hungry," she said. "You finish it." That night, after George had fallen asleep, Mina sat in bed, trying to read. But all she could think about was what she had done. Then she thought she heard a woman's voice. "Who has my liver?" it asked. "Who has it?" Was it her imagination? Was she dreaming? Now the voice was closer. "Who has my liver?" it asked. "Who has it?" Mina wanted to run. "No, no," she whispered. "I don't have it. I don't have your liver." Now the voice was right next to her.
Who has my liver?
It asked.
Who has it?
Mina froze with terror. She pointed to George. He does, she said. He has it. Suddenly, the lights went out, and George screamed and screamed. A dark story indeed. What is more scary, do you reckon? Is it the abusive husband? For that is what he truly was. The story, meant for children, is being light and polite. But remember, anyone who bullies, coerces, or makes you afraid in a relationship is abusive. Watch for those signs. There is nothing to be said about what is lost in him having eaten a liver of an old woman. In many ways, it was the only way she could have escaped him. But the guilt, the fear and the guilt she felt, he may have deserved a bitter end. But who amongst us would feel right to say that this was her fault? Remember, it is not because the woman was dead that this happened. Here is the thing. The dead do not truly care what happens to their body. They're dead, they can do nothing about it. Much like in the story, The Rings on Her Finger. The dead can't take things with them when they cross over. At least that is what we believe. So the idea that someone comes back, perhaps it's not just because her liver was missing. Perhaps there were some supernatural forces wishing to free our dear, well, protagonist. But those, again, are larger concepts. The fear in this story might just be the dead, the comeuppance that comes. One might argue, was she right to blame her husband? For he did, in fact, consume the liver that she presented her. But it is not a matter of who is to blame, necessarily. The matter is that he did have the old woman's liver. Remember to be kind to those around you. Once again, that lesson pops up in this story. Mina never would have given her husband some old woman's liver if she didn't feel frightened to do so. Again, something as simple as that. Eating a delicious meal could be deadly. And one could argue, if he had found out that she had eaten the liver that he would have felt that he bought, it could have been very deadly for her. And there is some fear in that as well. Again, kindness is free and goes a long way. Remember that, if nothing else from today's audio. Be kind to yourself, be kind to others, lest you fall victim to the things that go bump in the night. Now then, it is that time again when I must leave you with a missive from our good friend Mazarus.
Hello everyone, it's me, Mazarus of Stroke of Midnight, and I want to thank you all so very much for enjoying this audio. Thank you very much for liking, sharing, favorite, subscribing, and hitting the notification bell. If you haven't done so already, what are you waiting for? This week's audio was fun to cobble together. I've been enjoying doing this as a format. It makes it so much easier for me. And quite honestly, being this ahead of schedule makes me excited. I'm actually banging these out, one right after the other.
and it's exciting, as I said. That being said, there should be at least two more audios from Akeetham this month. The next one will be another Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, and if I haven't run out of stories I want to use, there may be another one. But the final Akeetham stories, Tales from the Lich, is going to fall on Halloween. I will be out of town, I am not going to be available, so I'm going to try my best to have that audio done well ahead of time. Maybe it will be something special, I don't know yet, but I'm excited to be there with you all. In the meantime, thank you very much. Remember, be kind to one another, and if you can, please join my Patreon. You'll see all kinds of perks. You'll get these audios a week ahead of time, sometimes more. And of course, you'll be able to vote on what you want to hear, etc. You can join the community for $5 a pop, and then you can join the Discord. And if you want spicier audios, you can pay $15 a month for it. If you're an adult. In the meantime, if you can't subscribe to my Patreon or you can't provide anything on Ko-fi, feel free to support me by watching all my other videos. Do a marathon of them. Do whatever you need. Raise those numbers, baby! But seriously, thank you all so much for your support. In the meantime, sweet dreams and pleasant nightmares. Many of the student nurses resented Alice. Christ, that was a big burp.